Hallelujah. Name is Christ. We commence our third class on the Holy Spirit. How many of you have heard of Benny Hinn before? Benny Hinn? Yes. Okay, yeah. Actually, Benny Hinn is quite a famous, charismatic preacher, right? So when we look at this video, try to see if this fake or real. Yeah, this guy always dressed in white, right? He goes from white to black, That's pretty much his outfit throughout his whole ministry. And I remember one of the brothers who hasn't come to church for a long time, and he's married, then his wife was really sick. So Benny Hinn was in the Houston area. So he went there, him and his family went there to watch him. And in the middle of the night, I received a phone call because this brother, even though he didn't come to church for a long time, and then he came to church for a couple of weeks during that time, but his wife was so sick that they need some healing. So he called me and he said, "Hey, Voody, you know, my wife took me to this church," because his wife is not a believer, right? He's not a believer. And I walk in and the side of the building is on fire, right? Like, what do you mean it's on fire? They say they burn this fire. It's like so demonic, right? It's like the walls, like I'm talking about real fire, right? They put up. So they went in there. He just feel very strange. And then when he sat down, and all of a sudden there's a person with a credit card swipe, right? Came in and the brother said, "What's it for?" I said, "Oh, $40 a person." So him, his wife, his mother-in-law. So that's what, $120. And then say your two children, they cannot stay here. They have to go to daycare. So that's $20 a piece. So that's $40. So that's $160 already, right? So $160 just to sit there and, you know, watch Benny Hinn. And then after like halfway through the whole show, it's a show, right? It's a show. And then another person came in with a credit card swipe. And the brother said, "What is this for?" It's like, he's like, "I already paid $40 a piece." Like, "No. That the $40 before was for the church, now is for Benny Hinn, $40. So another $120. So how much is that, $280? Yeah, some $280 already, right? To go watch this this Benny Hinn guy, right? So, but if you look at the audience, it's packed. You understand? He traveled all over the world. I'm talking about any place in the world, he's already there. And, you know, and you wonder why. I mean, look at our church, we have the true Spirit of God, right? And thank God this year, what, about 140, 150 of you here? So praise and thank God, right? But during spiritual convocation, you really hardly anybody come and stuff like that, right? So we'll see, you know, the contrast of those who worship evil spirit and those who worship the true God.
Dear Jesus, I give you praise. I give you praise for the anointing. Give you praise for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I give you praise for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I give you praise for the anointing of the Spirit. Let's go, gentlemen. There's a floor here. Touch. Pick him up. Touch. Pick him up. That's glory. 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 Bring him here. That's glory, that's glory, that's glory. Bring him here. Touch, I pray, I give you praise. I give you praise for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Pick him up. Fire on his life. Pick him up. Over there, over there, over there, over there. Let's go, children, let's go. Fire of God be there in Jesus' name. Fire! Fire on your lady in Jesus' name. Everyone lift your hands, pray in the Spirit. Come on. Let's go. Fire of the Holy Ghost, it's yours in Jesus' name. I give you praise for the anointing. I give you praise. Pick it up. My God, this is fire on you. My God. Pick him up. That's the glory of God on him. Fire on you in the name of the Lord, my God. Pick your hands. Just lift your hands and pray quickly.
You see, right? If you look at all the people when he's like, you know, put his hands toward them, you see how this guy fall? You think that's normal? Quite often, if you push someone, right? If you push someone, they faking it. Quite often, the defense mechanism will try to stop, right? From one. But this guy, he lift up his feet and just crash into the ground, right? This is demonic. Right? This is demonic. So if you look at a lot of time that he does that, there's no way this fat guy can do that himself. You understand? And this is only one of the videos. Some other videos, he has like 100 people in front, and he just goes like this, right? And 100 people at the same time fell on their back just like that. So it's quite demonic. But look how many people are there. I mean, there's thousands of people are there every time he has this kind of show.
Thanks. I give you praise for the anointing here, Lord. I give you praise for the anointing in this house. I give you praise for the anointing in this house. Everyone pray in the Spirit. Come on. Everyone pray in the Holy Ghost. Thanks for the anointing. Thanks for the anointing. Thanks for the anointing. Bring him back. Bring him back. Bring him back. Touch. Thanks. Thanks for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Sing it. Father God, touch them. Use them for your glory. Pick them up, gentlemen. Mightily. Mightily, Lord. Mightily, Lord. Mightily. Let a fresh and mighty anointing come upon their life and home. In the name of Jesus. Let me hear you, choir, please. Thanks for the anointing, Lord. Thanks for the anointing, Lord. Let's go, let's go. Thanks for the anointing, Lord. Thanks for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Let's go, gentlemen. I give you praise for the Holy Ghost. Pick him up. I give you praise for the Holy Ghost. Pick him up. Dear God, fire on your life in Jesus' mighty and glorious name. Touching Jesus, my dear. Thanks for the anointing, Lord. Thanks for the fire of the Holy Ghost. Thanks for the fire of the Spirit, my God of glory. Sing it right over here, young devil. Jesus' name. Thanks for the anointing. Let's go. Touch. Worship you now. Touch. Touch in Jesus' name. Glory. That's glory, Kevin. That's glory. Everyone, lift your hands and bless it, people. Let's go. Let's go. Touch. Touch in Jesus. Touch in Jesus' name. Lift your voice to me. Thanks for the anointing. Alba Korafe. Oh, thanks. Oh.
Yes. Okay, there's a lot more on this, but yeah, let's shut him off already. Actually, when you look at this kind of video, right, and I mean, there's thousands of people attend this kind of video, and they would love to go on the stage and receive the Holy Spirit from this guy, right? And we know that actually it's very demonic, and it's not fake. I watch many of his videos. It's not fake, but it's very demonic. So, you know, when we think about other churches, do they have the Holy Spirit or not? You really must, you know, go back to the Bible to see what is true and what is not. So that same brother who went to see Benny Hinn, he also went to another church. And he went to the other church, you know, before he returned back to our church. So he went to that church, and the minister, I mean, can you imagine if one of the ministers does that, just hit you in the head, right? Just walk around, hit you in the head, and make you fall down, right? It's quite strange, right? But people love to go up there and get hit in the head by Benny Hinn, right? It's just very strange. Of course, it's demonic, right? Demonic. So this brother went there, and they lay hand, you know, put it, the pastor, they lay hand on his wife, and his wife fell down, and she started foaming to the mouth. But the minister came to him and put his hand on the brother, and the brother didn't fall. And then the brother feel like, wow, what's wrong with me? Why I didn't fall? So he asked the minister, like, why didn't I fall? And the minister told him, oh, because you have too much sin in you, right? And that's why, you know, you didn't fall. But we know that because the brother, even though he left the church for a long time, but he still belonged to God. He still belonged to God. So because of this, and that's why he didn't fall. Just like one testimony of a brother in Taiwan. I think he went somewhere to a country area, and he's not familiar with the churches around that area. So that day was a very stormy day, a windy day, and he wanted to go to church. So he went to church. All he sees is like true church, a sign is a true church, but there's something missing, right? There's some part of the sign is missing. So he thought, of course, you know, true Jesus church. So he went up there, went into the church. He just listened to the sermon. Listen, and all of a sudden the minister called everybody up to pray. So he also went up to pray. And all of a sudden, as he was praying, all of a sudden the pastor, we just, you know, laid his hands on the people. And they all start to fall. So this brother, he realized, oh, this is not true Jesus church, right? So instead of just leaving, he continued to pray really hard, please God help me, right? God help me, right? Instead of just leaving, so he just stayed there and pray. And then the minister came and laid hands on that brother, and the minister fell. Right? Really, and that's a true testimony. Why? Because evil spirit cannot stand in the presence of God's spirit. So that's why quite often we can see when our Lord Jesus Christ walked, and all those who are possessed by demons, they would yell and they would scream. Why? Because they know the Spirit of God is inside our Lord Jesus Christ. So the same thing when we go to Africa, especially in Ghana. Ghana is the Pandu area, which is in the border of Togo. And you know about voodoo, right? Yes, voodoo is not, they practice a lot of voodoo now. Where? Where? Yeah, Haiti and Jamaica, man, right? Lot in Jamaica, okay? And actually, the origin from voodoo is from Togo. And that's why Togo is in the border of Pandu, so a lot of people there possessed by evil spirit. But when we go there to preach the gospel, I tell you, those who has the evil spirit, they just disperse and they would yell and scream. It's very amazing because evil spirit knows if we have the Spirit of God inside of us or not. So that's why it's very important. So don't think that, yes, other churches, of course, some churches, they fake, right? Faking the Holy Spirit is much better than this kind of spirit. Because this kind of spirit is demonic. And a lot of churches, they have the spirit of error. We'll go into that. So we really must have this kind of faith. Because if you feel that everybody, everyone out there who believe and have the Holy Spirit, and then you just feel that the Spirit inside you is very ordinary, something not precious, something, you know, not so wonderful. Because of this, that's why when you and I pray, we have no power. Why? Because what kind of faith do we have? If we just feel that, you know, we can't even discern what is the Spirit of God and the spirit of evil. So really think and reflect about this. So there's three questions here. I'll try to answer before class. Okay. Dear Preacher Vudi. Actually, I'm just joking. I just say Preacher Vudi. Say, Preacher Vudi said that brothers can have an evil spirit called sex evil. Okay. And that's not the funny part. The funny part, is that just hormones? Right? Hormones, okay. Or does that really exist? If so, what does it do? Okay. Yeah, the sex evil spirit gave it away, right? And that's what it does. So, for example, one brother, he watched a lot of pornographic. And because he watched a lot of pornographic, he's no longer coming to church. So during that time, one of the council members asked one of the ministers to go and visit his brother. So this minister went to this brother's place, and every time the minister talked to him, and this brother keep looking around like this, right? And he keeps saying to the minister, "Do you see that? Do you see that?" And the minister said, "What? What do you see?" He said, "There's all naked women walking around in the apartment." And the minister, of course, feel like, you know, the brother's a little bit crazy, right? Why? Because he watched so much pornographic. Even when the minister was taking him to church, on their way to church while they're driving, everybody that walked in front of him, they were naked women. Okay? This is, you know, that is one part of it. And then there's another brother who actually was going to be, he's going to join up for TTP training, not in America, right, in Taiwan. And it just happened he went to a college. It's next to the Red District. You guys know what Red District is, right? So his apartment is right next to the Red District. So in the beginning, when he was walking through the Red District to get to his apartment, he doesn't really look at all the posts, you know, bulletin board and things like that. He just put his head down and just walked. And then, of course, after several weeks, after several months, then he started to peek to look at, you know, the pictures and things like that. And then after a while, all he does is look at those pictures when he's walking. And one day, when he was looking at a picture, one of the naked women from that, you know, bulletin board started chasing him. And when he started chasing him, this brother started to run. Then he went to his apartment, and he became pretty much crazy. Because he became so frightened, and that, you know, that naked woman, the evil spirit there, bothered him. So because of this, of course, he did not apply for TTP later. And then there's another brother. He was meeting at a pastor at the church. You guys know they're all brothers, right? They're all brothers. Right? So meeting a pastor at the church, and they were on their way to visit someone in the hospital. So why they're driving their moped, this is in Taiwan, right? Why did this, the one of the instructor told me this, because the instructor was that pastor. He said they were riding their moped to visit some of the members in the hospital. And all of a sudden, he saw the brother, right, drove his moped way past the pastor. And the pastor wondering, what's going on? Why this brother, you know, where is he in a hurry to go? And all of a sudden, as the pastor continued to go to the hospital, and he saw the brother, his moped hit like, you know, those, it's like a bus stop kind of thing, but have a lot of pictures on there. So, and then there's some telephone poles also have some kind of pictures, like half-nude lady and stuff on there. So the pastor asked him, because this brother got hurt really bad, right? He smashed his head and everything. So the pastor asked him, what happened? Say, what happened when he was riding the moped, while he was with the pastor, he was looking at the poster, that half-naked woman. And he looked at it, and all of a sudden, he feels something is drawing him away. And then he wanted to see even closer. So when he went ahead of the minister, then all of a sudden he was mesmerized by this picture. So pretty much when he looked at the telephone pole with the poster, or in a certain kind of pole, I don't know if it's a telephone pole, but it's a pole that had this poster on it. So pretty much he feel that this woman waved him in like this. And for him, he couldn't control himself, so he rides his motorcycle straight to that pole and hurt himself. Now instead of go visit someone in hospital, he need to go to hospital, right, with the minister. So, and then, this is not a church member, but one of my clients that I talked to that I used to work with when I was working, he used to have this evil sex spirit that come to defy him every single night. Right? Maybe some of the brothers think, oh, wow, that's cool. Right? But actually, it's very demonic. Why? Because, you know, even though the evil spirit can come and defy you sexually like that, but it's very evil. It's very gross. Just like one time when I first came to Christ, when I was sleeping, and all of a sudden this charcoal kind of figure showed up. And I think it's a woman. And it was full of breasts. It was full of breasts. Maybe 6 or 8 breasts. I don't know. I couldn't see very clearly, right? Because she was burnt. Right? She was burnt. So all of a sudden, when I saw her, she came and she started choking me. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I choke you back, right? So I put her on my bed. When I put her on my bed, I look at her face. It's full of maggots, full of worms, and it smells so bad. Right? And so don't think this kind of, you know, sex, evil spirit, like, you know, will give you pleasure. No, it will make you torment. So just like that client that I work with, actually, he, you know, for him, every single night, this awful spirit would come to defy him. And that's why he came to secret therapy, because he wanted to kill himself. Why? Because every night is always torment and things like that. So that's why it's of course, there's also hormones involved with, you know, with a certain age. But if you guys watch too much things that is, you know, dirty, that is not, that defile us, our body, then, you know, this evil spirit that have to do with sex, right, it will come continuously to bother you, continuously to make you yearn for this kind of things that is, no, not pleasing to God. Okay? Next one. If someone had sex already and they have the Holy Spirit, do they have a guarantee that they lost their Holy Spirit forever? Or, and this all before on, or this is all before marriage? Oh, okay. So, of course, any sins that you and I commit, right, their sin is leading to death. And their sin death is smaller. But it doesn't matter what kind of sins you and I commit. We always should have hope that our Lord Jesus Christ, by true repentance, that our Lord Jesus Christ, his mercy will, you know, come back to us. So, of course, there's some brother and sister who commit sexual immorality. They are no longer in church. It doesn't matter before or after marriage. It doesn't matter. Sin is a sin. Because before marriage, you cannot commit fornication. This means have sex with the same sex or the opposite sex. Before marriage, you cannot do that. And when you are married, you cannot have sex with any other person besides your spouse. So if you do this, you have committed sexual immorality. And those who commit such things, quite often they lose the Holy Spirit. And when they lose the Holy Spirit, they no longer come to church. But those of us who commit this kind of sexual act, if we're still in church, this means there's still hope. Always pray and repent. So we know someone who committed sexual act and sin against God. Always give them hope. Always give them hope. Why? Because if we truly repent in the right manner, just like David. If you look at David's sin, it's much greater than the sin of Saul. Because David committed all 10 commandments, right? Why? Because of his repentance. God, you know, took him back. But remember, he still paid for the consequences. Right? Remember, so the same thing for us. So when we commit such things, you know, always, because it's too, first, you should not commit such things. That is the goal. But if you already committed, you must have, don't ever lose hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing. But try not to do it in the first place. Why? Because if you commit such sin, and then on the end, you feel like your salvation is unsure. When you pray to God, it seems like it's so far. When you come to church, it seems like God is not with you. And this is the worst feeling in the whole world. Because what is Hades? Hades is a place without God. So when you and I sin against God, if God is not with us, that's Hades, right? That's Hades. Okay? Any other question pertaining to this? Okay, let's go to the next one. Last one. I learned in an SSC that if you have sex with someone before marriage, you have to marry that person. What about if someone has sex with many different people? Do we have to marry them too? I'm not sure. Can you please clarify? Okay. Of course, the church encourage that when you have sex with someone, it's best for you to marry them, right? And then marry who? The first one that you had sexual relationship with, right? The first one, right? The first one. So if you already have 10 sexual relationships, then woe to you, right? And then, of course, but that's why if any one of you, have sexual relationship with Gentiles, so this means maybe the Gentiles already have 5-10 relationship with others already. So this means when you have sex with them, you not only have sex with that person, but also you have sex with maybe another 40 people, right? Because that other 5 people have sex with another 5 people. The other 5 people have sex with other 5 people. So repentance is out the door. You understand? So that's why you must take it seriously, right? Take it seriously. So that's why you must continue to keep yourself holy. But of course, we encourage first, don't have fornication in the first place. But if you fornicate with someone, try your best, right, to marry them, because in the eyes of God, that is your spouse. Because when you consummate with a person, this is already your spouse. And that's why the church encourages you to marry them. But even if you encourage you to marry them, if that person is a Gentile and they don't want to marry you and they already have another boyfriend or girlfriend, then of course, for us, you know, we must truly repent and ask God to forgive us. Okay? Is that clear? Okay. Yeah, so for this question, maybe like, okay, if that's the case, I can have 10 wives, right? If I have sex with 10 different people, right? Marry every one of them. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. Okay? All right, praise and thank God. Let's go into a class. Talk about Holy Spirit. Let's turn to the book of Joel. Joel. The book of Joel, chapter 2. So we continue to prove that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is different than that of the promised Holy Spirit. And we also continue to prove, saying that, yes, even though other churches, they can be moved by the Holy Spirit, it does not mean they receive the promised Holy Spirit. For example, our hymns, right? We have about 530. How many hymns do we have now? 525. How many of hymns are written by church members? How many? Sister Susan, you're the choir leader. You should know how many hymns that our brother and sister have wrote, right? Do you know? In the book, in the hymn book. How many, right? I heard it's about 5 or 6. And most of the time, it's a unanimous one, right? That's the one, right, that they have written. So 5 or 6. So what about another 523? 120 or so, right? 120 or so. 520 or so. Who wrote those? Of course, other Christians. And the reason for me, hymns, really, so many hymns are very beautiful. Why? Because God also moved, right? Moved them to write such hymns. The same thing in the Old Testament. When they wrote the scriptures in the Old Testament, of course, there's no promised Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit moved them to write such things. So do not be surprised that other churches also have miracles and signs. Other churches also feel the movement of the Holy Spirit, but it's different than the promised Holy Spirit. So that's why in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see vision. Verse 29. And also on my maidservant, and on my maidservant I will pour out my spirit in those days. Then let's go to verse 32. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. So here we know in the book of Joel is a prophecy. A prophecy that one day he will pour out his spirit to everyone, right? To everyone. So if the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, already exists in that time, why would God prophesy in such a way? Because it did not exist yet during that time. And also, let's go to the book of John. The book of John. The book of John, chapter 7. The book of John, chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. The book of John, chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Verse 38. "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Verse 39. "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So here it's very clear that the promised Holy Spirit has not been given yet. And what is the reason why the Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit, has not been given yet? Why? Yes, Jesus has not been glorified. What's that mean? Okay, ascend to heaven, and what else? Is that it? What else? Yes. There's a process, right? Jesus suffered and died for you and I, and he's crucified. Then after crucifixion, what happened? Huh? Yes. Then he was buried, then resurrection. And after resurrection, he ascended to heaven. And this process is very important to our faith. Why? Because for you and I, we will go through the same process. So when our Lord Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, and then he sent the promised Holy Spirit down. So that's why he said here, right? "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And then he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So how many of us who receive the Holy Spirit feel in such a way, feel this way, that the rivers of living water flow right through you? Anybody experienced that before? No? Yes? Are you guys? No, really. It's not. It just want to prove that what our Lord Jesus Christ say is true. Please raise your hands if you feel this kind of. Okay, just like Pastor Yang always asks you guys, do you understand? Right? You understand my questions? Right? No, do you understand my questions? When you receive the Holy Spirit, do you feel this in your, from your stomach, right? Out of your heart, just living water coming out. Do you feel like that? No? How many say yes? Please raise your hand up high. Because if you don't feel this kind of feeling, then that's why you feel like there's the Holy Spirit live inside of me. Actually, this is the way you should feel. Yes? Both. When you receive the Holy Spirit, when you pray to God. So if you don't feel this kind of feeling, this means actually a lot of us are not filled with God's Spirit. Why? Because when we kneel down and pray, not every time, not every single time, but we kneel down and pray to God, we just feel that our stomach is like a living fountain and it shoot up into our hearts, you know, living water. It's really amazing. And when you feel like this, it's so refreshing. It just cleanses your, you know, your body. So we don't feel like this. This means you and I need to pray more. And even we pray more if you and I don't live a life of holiness and righteousness. And that's why this, the sin will block us from being filled with God's Spirit. And then we're not filled with God's Spirit. That's why we have so many doubts. If our church is a true church or not. If the doctrine is the right doctrines or not. Why? Because the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. If it's the Spirit of truth, anything that's from the Bible, you will know that is true. If the Holy Spirit fills inside of us. So that's why I share with you how I received the Holy Spirit. And until this day, 15 years later, no one can ever tell me any other way that how a person received the Holy Spirit, how true it is not. I remember my first time, because one of the sisters who worked with me in the clinic that I was working in, she's also from TJC. So during that time, my wife was studying in France, and the sister asked me, do you want to go to Bible study? And for me, like, all right, I have nothing to lose, right? Because my wife's not around, and it's Friday night. And if my wife's not around, I'm not going to go out and just go home and do nothing anyway, right? So I said, okay, I'll go to Bible study. So I went to Bible study that night. And the first thing I noticed when I went to Bible study, that the TJC sisters, right, when I look at them, I'm like, wow, they look very different from all the other women that I know, right? They just, why? Because they look like they're so gentle, so kind, so naive, that kind of stuff, right? Right? And that time, of course, I had cowboy boots on, right? I'm 6 feet, but with my cowboy boots, I'm like 6'3", right? It's like 3 inches, right? I have long coat on, I have my suit on, right? Because I get out of work, right, during that time. So I walk in there, of course, I'm like this big guy walking in, right? And maybe that's why they feel so timid, this and that, right? But there's also another truth seeker during that time that was also there, that one of the sisters invited. And during the Bible study, they argue with one another, right? And I said, hey, ain't you guys Christian? They would have a lot of love to one another. That's what I said. I remember that, right? And then they didn't say anything, right? And then afterward, and one of the sisters say, the sister who worked with me, she said, oh, we're going to kneel down and pray now. I'm like, okay. Then she kneeled down and prayed. And all of a sudden, of course, she spoke in tongue. And of course, the first thing I did, I opened my eyes and looked at her. Like, wow, this sister, when I work with her, she's quite normal. But now she's shaking her body and she's praying like this. For me, like, this is very strange. So I say to myself, I never, ever want to go to this Bible study again. Right? But I know that sister, she's very persistent. And I know the next Friday, she will call me to go to Bible study again. So I have my own plan. My plan is that I'm going to go to the movies after work. And these movies start from 6, and it's 3-hour movies. I don't know what movie it was, but it was 3 hours. So from 6 to 9, this means I will be in the movie theater and she cannot reach me. So I went to the movie theater, and at 9 o'clock, I came out. Then my cell phone rang. And guess who it was? It was the sister. She's like, oh, Voody, are you coming to Bible study? I'm like, it's 9 o'clock already. Is it over? And she said, no, we started late. I'm like, okay. I say to her, I'm very, very hungry. She's like, that is great. Tonight we can have hot pot, right? And for me, I never say no to free food, right? I eat a lot, right? And say, okay, so I went there. And this time I was saying, like, this sister that I work with, she's very normal, right? She's a very nice lady, and she's just very gentle, she's very kind. But during her prayer, why she prays such a way, right? So there must be something going on with that. So that time I asked the sisters, how do you really pray? Who do you pray to? So they explained to me how you pray in the name of Jesus. And then, if you don't have anything to say, just say hallelujah. I mean, praise the Lord. Then it's just like that. So when I kneel down and pray during that time, I just feel that this calm came over me. This kind of quietness came over me. Because for me, I never experienced this kind of quietness before. Because I was a very violent person. I had really bad temper. I think I testified to some of you before how I tried to stab my own brother, right? And one time I, hit a kid on his bicycle, but I, instead of helping him, I go out there and threaten to hurt him, even more. Things like that, right? But I feel this kind of tranquility that came over me. I'm like, wow, this is something that I really want. So then I went home, and every night before I sleep, I would pray 3-5 minutes. And I just feel like I want to feel the kind of peace and joy. So, and I pray every single night for like 3 to 5 minutes. Then one night when I was sleeping, I heard a voice. And this voice say, Voody, get up and pray. And for me, of course, like, who's calling me, right? Because I was half asleep. Then I heard again, Voodoo, get up and pray. Then I got up, and then before even my knees hit the ground, and I went like this with my hand, and I say, before I say hallelujah, I feel this power came through my head. And it came through my whole body, and then from my stomach, just like living water. I'm talking about like this living water is full of energy, right? It's like, it's living water, but it's full of electricity. Like that kind of feeling. So I feel this overwhelming. And during that time, for me, in my mind, Jesus was right in front of me. So during that time, I start to cry bitterly. Because when the Holy Spirit came to my head and came through me, and my tongue just started moving. So that's why the evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongue. We're going to talk about that more, right? But for me, I was so touched that Jesus, for the first time in my life, I knew he exists. I knew he existed. And then I cry from joy and cry from repentance. Because during a time, like all my sin that I committed against God, it came right before me and before Lord Jesus Christ. Then also I heard another voice, Voodoo, read 1 Peter. I didn't even know there's a 1 Peter or a 2 Peter, right? And I was in the dark. So read 1 Peter. So I'm trying to find 1 Peter, right? And finally, thank God, I found 1 Peter. When I found 1 Peter and I read it, and the words that's in the Bible came alive. What I mean is that every verse that I read will just come right up and come through my heart, and just like that. It's like a 3D, that kind of things that you see. Then I realized the Word of God is the truth. So when I felt like that, I felt so joyful. It's the first time in my life I felt in such a way. So that time my wife was studying in France, and I called up and say, "Honey, God exists. Kneel down and repent, and you receive the Holy Spirit." And I was crying. Right? I was crying because my wife usually don't hear me cry because I'm a man, right? I don't cry too often. So when she heard me cry, she just felt that, what's wrong with me? Why, something wrong? But I just tell him, the Holy Spirit exists, the Holy Spirit exists. She's like, Voodoo, go back to sleep already, right? Then I hung up and I called my mother. I called my adopted mother, Joyce, repent and pray and God will give you the Holy Spirit. Because she thought I was crazy too, right? So I hung up with her and then I continued to pray. And that was it. That, for me, that experience, no one ever going to take it away from me. That kind, just like Jesus Christ said, right? If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Not like, this is like rivers, right? Many rivers are living water. So, brother and sister, really, continue to pray. If you pray half an hour a day, it's not enough. You got to continue to pray every single day, an hour, 2 hours. Then you really feel that living water will go through you, right? From your stomach, go through your heart. Then you will never have doubt that this church is a true church. You will never have doubt that the doctrine of this church, they are completely 100% true. Okay. Let's bow and pray in silence.